If I said to you, today the White House announced, and then went on to tell you, the first thing you wouldn't assume is that there's a house that happens to be white that can speak. We know that when we say the White House, we mean the whole apparatus of the US government making an announcement. Of course, if you didn't know any of that, you would think, why are they talking about houses that can talk? We just assume that we know how this works. It doesn't need to be explained to us. It's the same with the idea of Jesus being the Good Shepherd. This is something anyone in Jesus' time would have heard frequently, and going back well before that, maybe another 3,000 years. The idea was that rulers, whether they were good or bad, wanted to be shepherds. They wanted their people to know that they had their best intentions at heart, even if they didn't. And so the idea of being the shepherd was really important to rulers. You might remember, if you've seen any images of the pharaohs in their tombs, they've often got their arms crossed, and in one arm they hold a staff, or possibly a whip, or it could be a flail for flailing grain out of the ground, which is the most obvious one, because here I am, the one who provides all the food you need. And in the other hand is a crook, which is the shepherd's sign. And that goes back at least 3,000 years before Jesus. So the idea of the shepherd, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, they know what he's talking about. He's talking about rulers of the world, rulers of people, people who oversee the world. That's not to say that when we read Psalm 23, it isn't a story of comfort and support. But even then, when they first read Psalm 23, they would have known what was being talked about here. All rulers like to portray themselves as shepherds. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the word here doesn't mean morally good. I'm good and you're bad because I do the right thing and you do the wrong thing. The word here is functionally good. Jesus is saying, I operate in the way a shepherd should, to do the right thing, to make things work. I am, if you like, the true or real shepherd, the honest one. It would be like hearing somebody now stand up and say, I am the real Prime Minister of Australia. It's that shocking. Well, of course I'm not. I'm just an ordinary person standing here. Yeah, I've got a microphone and I'm wearing a dress, but that's all I've got. How can I say I'm the Prime Minister of Australia, the proper one, the true one, the one who really knows how to function? That's the kind of thing Jesus is saying here. And he says, you know, you can tell a good shepherd because they're the ones who were willing to lay down their life for the sheep. That's how you tell. Now, we know about this because any of us who have been parents, or any of us who have been children of parents, know what it's like for somebody to put the needs of their children before their own needs. It's kind of the job of being a parent. Often in small ways, sometimes we have to do it in big ways. And you may have read stories coming out of Gaza at the moment, where parents are literally putting their lives in front of their children in order to hopefully protect them. So we understand that a good shepherd is the one who stands in front and does whatever is required. The ultimate sacrifice we talk about with the Anzac Spirit, which we will be commemorating in a couple of days' time. Living for justice until everything is just is what Jesus is talking about. But the hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. The hired hand presumably cares for the pay packet, not the sheep. And as soon as they are threatened, they run away. The hired hand, Jesus says, who is not the shepherd. How can you tell a hired hand from a shepherd? They both look the same from a distance, don't they? They're both standing there with a pile of sheep in Jesus' day. The hired hands are, if you like, counterfeit shepherds. So how do you tell the difference? Well, go back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And imagine saying that at a time when you already had a Lord. This could have been written soon after the Persians were the lords of Israel. Or when the Sumerians were later, earlier. We don't know, but the idea that you would say the Lord, that God is my shepherd, not whoever's in charge at the moment. I shall not want. This is the true measure of a good shepherd. You could read Psalm 23, as we often do at funerals, as a word of comfort, and it is that. But it's also an implied critique of the hired hands, of those who say the right thing but don't do it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I get all that I need. Besides still waters, there's peace. My cup overflows, goodness and mercy follow me. That's what good shepherding is. That's what we should be looking for with those who say, I am the shepherd. This is what the prophet Ezekiel said about those who were hired hands, those who were counterfeit shepherds, people who called themselves shepherds. To the shepherds, he says, thus says the Lord God, woe to you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatted calf, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays. You have not sought the lost. But with force and with harshness, you have ruled them. That's a job description of a hired hand. Anyone who does not act for the good of the shepherds, for the good, as a good shepherd, for the good of the sheep. In 2024, more people will have voted, by the end of 2024, more people will have voted in elections than in any other time in history. Major countries are going through elections, India being the largest. Not all of them will be full democracies, some of them will be sham democracies, and we could go through all of that, but we don't have time for that today. But people will be making choices as best they can. And it's not about what those people say they believe. It's about what they do, isn't it? Politicians, especially in the US at the moment, as they move towards their election at the end of the year, are very keen on telling us what they believe about themselves, about America, about God. But it's about what they do. We've had two expressly Christian prime ministers in this country in the last couple of years, last couple of decades. Kevin Rudd from the Labour Party and Scott Morrison from the Liberal Party, both of whom have been quite open that they were Christians and a part of the church. But our question is not what do they believe, but what do they do? Do their policies care for the poor, the widow and the orphan, and the stranger, the alien to our shores? And in that one, that last one, both of those men and their governments come up way short of what God calls us to do. The Australian Church's Refugee Task Force has been meeting recently. They meet all the time, but it's been meeting recently. We're a part of that, the Uniting Church. And they recently put out a statement about the proposed Migration Amendment Bill, which you may know about, which is going to bring in very harsh penalties for people who are either in detention or in community detention who refuse to go back to their country of origin because of fear of persecution. We're sick and tired of having them hanging around. We're going to shove them back. That's my words, not the Amendment Act's words. But this is what we, the Uniting Church, and the other churches have said. As Christians, we must return to our faith tradition to critique what is happening. The whole biblical tradition is about helping the vulnerable. Jesus spoke often about a new world order that he called the kingdom of God. It's in sharp contradiction and distinction from the Roman Empire of his day, with power and privilege in the hands of just the few, with the lepers the mentally ill, the landless, the disenfranchised, treated as expendable and living in parlous situations. Jesus talked about turning the world upside down. In fact, it means turning it the right way up. And then there's more language of detail about the program that's being proposed by the government and is now being debated in the Senate, and is inviting us to write to the Minister of Immigration and to express to him the need for us to be the nation we say we are. Because we've signed up to lots of conventions that says we will treat people with respect and dignity and justice, and we're not doing it. We must challenge the prevailing order. That's what Jesus is saying. It's really interesting that Jesus says, the hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Why the wolf? Because in Luke's gospel, when Jesus is looking for an animal metaphor to reach for, to talk about Herod, the crooked king, he calls him a fox. Here he talks about wolves. Why? Because the wolf was the symbol of Rome. It's on all their flags. It's still the symbol of Rome today. It's on the flags of a number of Roman-based football teams. Goes back to the ancient story of Romulus and Remus, who the story says were suckled by a she-wolf, and they, out of the power they got from that, were able to found Rome on the Seven Hills. It's a direct critique, I think, of the life that they're living in Palestine in the time of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. Herod says he's a shepherd. The Roman emperor certainly says he's a shepherd, but I am the good shepherd. And I have other sheep who I'm going to bring into this, because this is about wholeness. It's about leaving no one out. There is no one who is outside of the good shepherd. There will be one flock and one shepherd. It's about intimacy and wholeness. We know the world is fragmented. We're very keen on dividing by age and when saying something about what that means when somebody is 11 or 111. We divide by gender, we divide by sexuality, we divide by nation and ethnicity. But it's about one people. It's the story we have to keep telling Sunday after Sunday, day after day. We have to keep telling to ourselves to remind ourselves as well as to the wider world. How do you recognize a good shepherd? It's about wholeness, it's about oneness, it's about inclusion of everybody, it's about justice, and if it requires sacrifice, so be it, but it's about justice. I am the good shepherd. This is the work of good shepherding. This is the work we have been embraced by and invited into, regardless of what distinctions we make about ourselves or within ourselves. We're just being drawn into it. To live in green pastures beside still waters and to have our cup overflowing.